Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we are reminded during this Christmas season that he was born to die for us, to save the world. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. And we rejoice in knowing you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you will be with us no matter what, even until the end of the ages. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak a word for us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today we have the text, the John the Baptist text. And that picture that we're looking at, that picture is about John the Baptist. John the Baptist in prison. Right? John the Baptist who served God and had prepared the way for Jesus, waiting for Jesus. John the Baptist who was bold, you know, telling the folks to repent and repent and repent. John the Baptist would be telling, you know, waiting for Jesus. And we know what would happen to John the Baptist, because he came up against Herod. John the Baptist would be put in prison. And John the Baptist knows he's in prison. He knows what is going to happen. Ultimately, he knows that Herod is not going to let him out, that something horrible is going to happen. And while John the Baptist is in prison, John the Baptist's disciples were asking, you know, we know this guy is here, and meaning Jesus, we know this guy is on the scene, and John, he's different from you, John. He's gentle. Because John was bold and telling them, repent, you vipers, and, you know, and he was very bold. But there comes this new person on the scene that folk says is the Messiah, and yet he's so mild and meek, and they want to know, who is this one? Is he the one? Is he the one that we have been waiting for? And John now has to say these words to his disciple. Next slide. It says, now when John, while imprisoned, Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Are you the one, or shall we look for someone else? Because he knows, he's weary, and he knows that something is going to happen. And Jesus answered, next slide, and said to them, John the Baptist's disciples, go and report to John that what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. So Jesus never said, well, I am the one, but he gave John what he needed to hear. These things, he says, have happened. These things are happening. People are being healed. This is what they said the Messiah would do. The blind would receive sight, the lepers would be cleansed, and the deaf. And I have been doing that. So I've been doing the work of the Lord, believing in if Jesus is the one. What about us now? John in prison had to believe. John was going through a difficult time, but he made up in his mind that he would believe no matter what, that Jesus is the one. Now, let me read this brief reflection. In severe trials, a broken pastor proclaims, "I love Jesus." Andrew Brunson, a Christian pastor from North Carolina, spent 20 years in Turkey. He had a quiet but deep ministry there until 2016, when after a failed military coup, the government arrested him along with journalists, activists, military officers, and others. The Turkish government labeled Brunson a spy. Brunson was held for more than a year without charges. He spent nearly 2 years in prison, often enduring long trial sessions. At one point, it looked like he could spend years or even decades in Turkish prisons. Finally, after pressure from the Trump administration, Brunson was released from prison and returned to the United States. In a Wheaton College chapel talk, Brunson candidly said that he did not feel God's overwhelming presence during his stay in prison. Instead, he experienced something even deeper. Brunson said, "After a few days in prison, I completely lost the sense of God's presence. God was silent, and he remained silent for 2 years. When he was finally brought to trial, things were even worse," he says. "There are some who go into the valley of testing, and some don't make it out. I was broken. I lay there alone in my solitary cell. I had great fear, terrible grief, and I was weeping. And the thought kept going through my mind, where are you, God? Why are you so far away? And I opened my mouth as I wept aloud, and I was surprised at what I heard coming out of my mouth. I heard, 'I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.' I thought, here is my victory. Even if you're silent, I love you. Even if you let my enemy harm me, I love you. As Jesus said, 'But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved.' In the midst of his trials, he was able to say, 'I love you, Jesus.' Trials happen to all of us when it doesn't go right. We live in a world when we hear terrible things on the news. Death and killing. Christians being killed, non-Christians being killed. And we feel like God is silent. John the Baptist at that moment, more so his disciples, felt as if Jesus was silent. Or God himself, who had promised to send Jesus, was silent. Yet he had to hold on, and not only did he have to hold on, he had to be able to tell his disciples that, yes, he is the one. Have you ever been to, friends, where you believe God is not there? I know there are folks who says they always know that God is there. But if truth be told, when we have been praying and praying for one answer, for something, and that answer doesn't come the way we expect it, or doesn't come at all, one may ask the question, are you the one? Are we supposed to expect another one? Are we supposed to, is there somebody else coming who's going to do what was promised? Because we doesn't see that it's been promised. Are you the one, Lord? Am I confused, God? Are you the one, Lord Jesus? Friends, there's a song, a secular song. I think it's Shania Twain sang it. I just know the chorus part. And it says, you're still the one. You're still the one I run to. You're still the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life. You're still the one. You're still the one that I love. We're still happy. You're still the one. I come to tell you today that no matter what, I say to Jesus, you're still the one. We have to make up in our mind that he's still the one. No matter what we face in society, that yes, he's still the one. And Christmas reminds us that Jesus is still the one. Yes, he's still the one. It's not easy. It's not easy at all at times to believe that Jesus is still the one. But deep in our soul, we believe, we seek to believe. And don't let anybody who says their faith is so great that they never doubt. Doubt is important, because doubt means that you're seeking. You're seeking. Next slide. And so, friends, I just have some key points and then we'll be done, because we have a baptism. When we're waiting in silence and we don't hear God, when we are, I remember when I had, still do, but it doesn't, God has sent medicine. But I remember when I had the first major pain that left from here into my ear. I know the folks who knows, Nancy knows, if you're a nurse, you know, it is so bad. The pain leaves from here and all the way up in my ear, and it is in, and it goes into the brain, that it tells the brain that, and then the pain was so bad, there'd be time I try to speak and tears were coming to my eyes. I remember going to the dentist, the oral surgeon, and when he touched it, my whole body trembled. It was all here because the nerve had been damaged to some dental work. Notwithstanding, I said to the Lord, and this is nothing in comparison to what other people go through, but I said to the Lord, when I'd gone to one, my regular oral surgeon, and he couldn't, and then they sent me to somebody else, and I went and I said to the Lord, if you've called me to preach, call me to speak. This is my job, to spread the gospel. Why would you allow the enemy to attack my face and my mouth? Why, God? If this is it, is this the end for me? Is this the end for me in what you've called me to do? Is this it, God, that I will never be able to do it? Because they said if it doesn't, medication doesn't stop it, there's an operation that they clip it, the nerve that goes to the brain, and it sometimes it's not successful, and it could paralyze the side of the face. And thanks be to God, after a few months of talking to God and not hearing from God, but God was working it out, I would go to a neurologist who said, on Long Island, I'd go to a oral surgeon who said, I think this is it. He gave me Novocaine in the nerve, and after an hour it stopped. And he says, I think if you get this tablet, it has side effects like they all do, it will stop. And they sent me to the neurologist. And they did the MRI and MRI and MRA and MRI, several of them. And thanks be to God, with the medication, it has controlled it. I have to manage it and understand, and I've reduced it now a little bit, but like I go see him in December. But at one point I was saying, God, why would you do that? Why would that happen, since that's what I want to do for you until the day I die? I want to preach your gospel. Why would it be my mouth and my face? God will work it out. God will work it out. And we all have our own story. If each of you had to come up here, you would have your own story of calling on God and waiting on God. And so I want to say to you today, when we're going through and we don't think God is listening, I believe God is listening. And there are times we want God to hurry up. Yes, because we're human beings. Lord, why can't you hurry up? We want him to hurry up. But my first point is that wait patiently for God, even when you are afraid. Wait patiently. Even when you are afraid, you don't think it's going to work out, just wait patiently on God. On God. You get up, you go to the doctor for a regular checkup. You get a mammogram. You think everything is fine. They come back, they say they see something. And your world is changed. Number two, you have to choose to rejoice in God when everything in life goes wrong. Do you know how you rejoice? You get up sometimes and you go to church, even though when it's not well. I remember one Sunday standing here and speaking, and I could hardly say the words. And I thought, if I could just finish, God, just let me finish this. Just let me finish. And I sang through the pain so that God knows that I'm waiting on him. Choose to rejoice in God even when everything in life goes wrong. The third point, ask God for strength. Strength to keep trusting him even when you're down. When you're down, you have to ask God to help you to keep trusting him. Because friends, there are times we do not feel like trusting. It's true. Because we don't see anything that's happening. Next slide. And why you should trust God no matter what. Why should we? Number one, God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. Scripture says the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. God is trustworthy. Number two, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves us and has a wonderful, as Jeremiah 29 says, 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God loves us. God loves you. And has a wonderful plan for our life, even when we see that it doesn't seem that way. I don't believe God wants us to be in pain. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there's sin and destruction. We live in a fallen world where there's sickness that comes to our bodies. God loves you. Next slide, third slide. God knows all and sees all. God knows things you don't know. God knows ways. God's ways are higher than your ways and my ways. Isaiah reminds us, he says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. Sometimes we think God is not thinking about us, but God is thinking about us. And his ways are right. Number four, God is always with us. God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you. Even in the worst times. Even in the worst times, Isaiah says again, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God will not let us be destroyed. And number five, my last point, all power belongs to God, no matter what. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's unchanging. What he did for us in the past, he'll do again. What he did for mama and daddy and grandmama and granddaddy and great grand, he will do for us. But we must believe. And so today on this third Sunday of Advent, as Isaiah said, we rejoice. We have joy not because everything in our life is perfect, but because the God we serve is faithful and just. Oh, glory to God. And will bring us through. The God we serve is faithful and just. And so we rejoice in him today. And we as Christian believer must live our lives in a way that people see Christ in us. That people see the Christ we are talking about and the Christ we have experienced in us. And as I close out next slide, I'll say this short little, I heard this little reflection on the, I listened to the Catholic service in the morning when I'm getting ready, and the priest said this morning, he had a short little reflection, and he said, there were three young men, and they were running on the airport, running to get, you know, to go wherever they were, and a lady was selling fruits, and they knocked over her stuff, knocked it over, and one turned back and picked it up, began to pick it up for her, and he realized that she was blind. And she said to him, are you Jesus? And he said, what? She said, are you sure you're not Jesus? Because I just prayed and asked God, could you send someone to pick up my fruit? Because she was blind. Christian believers, people must know that we follow Jesus. And when we do things and say things, they must wonder, are you Jesus? Because we are Jesus' representative here on earth. And so, yes, he's still the one. And he'll come again. And one of our pastors died. Asumo Ando, a Japanese pastor. He had a lung transplant, some mold or something, years living in a parsonage with molds, and he had lived for a while, a long enough time, wonderful couple, they were both pastors, and he died, and they said he was in hospice, and we were told that the family was around him, and as he was transitioning, they were singing hymns, and he went home to be with the Lord, because he's still the one, you see. Yet, I knew another pastor. He had pastored for a long time. He was in his 90s when I was up in Connecticut. Wonderful, brilliant pastor. He had served at Golden Hill, the cathedral. And he wasn't in my congregation, but I was visiting, and I remembered him. So I went to his bed, and he was in his 90s. And I says, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing today? And he says, I'm doing well. And then he took my hand and he says, I'm afraid to die. He had pastored all his life. And he just says, I'm afraid to die. And all I could say to him is, God will be with you. God will be with you. So we all go through different experiences at that time. But let me remind you that Jesus is still the one who promises, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you even until the end of the ages. And I believe him. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God.